This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Clouds to the left of me, dark clouds to the right, here I am stuck in the middle wheel.
Hi, I'm Tracy.
And I'm Susan.
And this is the club for women in the middle.
You know, the ones with little kids and big kids and aging parents and work and hormones and money and a to-do list that breeds overnight.
Welcome to the Sandwich Club.
Hey, let's tell you a bit about what this podcast is all about. It's really just a conversation for women who are in the middle, the ones that are holding kids and parents and work and money and grief, holding their bodies and everybody else together.
Each episode with lived experience, humour and honest conversation, sometimes joined by thoughtful guests.
Always grounded in real life though, right?
So if you've ever felt like the meat in the sandwich, holding everyone together while quietly wondering, when's it your turn? You're not alone.
It's not self-help.
It's not reinvent yourself at 50.
And it's not a midlife optimization plan.
It's two midlife women saying the quiet parts out loud.
I'd like to think that we could be described as, you know, recognizable, energetic, warm.
Rye.
Yeah.
The goal is simple. A woman finishes an episode smiling slightly and thinking, oh my goodness, that's me.
And maybe they'll text the link to a friend.
So are you in the sandwich generation?
Oh, you know that space where you've got little kids.
Or teenagers.
To adult children.
Work.
Study.
Travel plans that you haven't quite taken.
Aging parents.
Slightly annoying health issues.
Not always slightly, but long to-do lists.
A car that probably needs replacing.
Oh, and the appliances that aren't going to last till retirement, which doesn't feel that far away.
A partner with their own stuff.
Oh, maybe an ex you're still co-parenting with.
A gardening that needs attention.
What about those friends that you just adore but you never see enough of?
And all of it feels like you're the meat.
Oh, the meat alternative.
In a sandwich. If you've ever thought,
I can't be the only one, surely.
You're in the right place.
This isn't about fixing you.
It's all about saying it out loud.
Welcome to the Sandwich Club.
So how did this all come about?
So it was a cat. It was my cat.
Right.
And my cat Timmy, who everybody loved. Timmy's no longer with us now, but Timmy was a super social cat.
Okay.
And that he loved a party. He loved a party.
Good.
But he wasn't a sit on your lap, hang around you kind of up close cat. He was just wanting to be in the scene.
Yeah.
So this particular weekend, the kids were away. I think I had one left living at home at that time, and I was putting the rubbish out. And at the time, I was living in a house, this 2 or 3 years ago, with a gravel driveway, and putting the rubbish out was a real pain anyway.
Yeah.
You had to take your, you know, and you're doing it yourself. The piece of rubbish that sat in the garden for 2 weeks because no one else picked it up.
Yeah.
I'm already grumpy about that.
Yeah.
Taking the rubbish bin out.
Yeah.
Walking out, can't see really in front of me because I've got the rubbish bin, pull it round behind me, and the cat, who's never even sat on the driveway to the best of my notice, plants himself in front of me. And
I
don't see the cat, and I trip over the cat and go completely flat out in the middle of the driveway, beautifully caught on my security camera.
Oh, no.
For the world to see.
Yeah.
And I'm lying there. Blood, you know, grazed hands, grazed knees. The cat's just looking at me going, what?
You stood on me.
Yeah, what's your deal? I'm crying with pain because, you know, there's blood dripping everywhere. And it was like, I'm an adult. I'm a grown up. There's no one here to pick me up.
Oh.
There's no one here to dig the gravel out of my knee. I'm actually a grown up. I can't ring my mum because I'm too old. And my kids, if they were here, would be falling about laughing anyway. They wouldn't even think.
That wouldn't be helpful.
No, it wouldn't be very helpful, probably. That was that first moment of realization. And that was about 3 or 4 years ago. And that whole idea of sandwich was just, it wasn't even really a thing then.
Yeah.
At the time, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm in this adult zone, you know? And then I moved house, and in the course of, over the space of 3 years, I had a child leave home.
Right.
I had the second one leave and go off to university.
Wow.
I had a year of chemotherapy because of breast cancer. And I had both parents in and out of hospital, which all things we can talk about in later dates.
Yeah.
But I kept talking to people who were all saying, oh, that sounds like me, yeah, you know, and then you throw in the whole menopause thing, which, you know, I'm past that, but that doesn't mean I don't have menopausal rage because I just call it menopausal rage even though I'm post-menopausal. But, you know, the rage, the hot sweats again, you know, it's what are we now? We're end of nearly in March and I'm still sleeping with the door open because it's so hot.
Yeah.
So there was all of these things that were going on and everyone I spoke to could relate, could relate. And I'd listened to podcasts again 3 years ago. They were a thing, but they weren't a thing as much now. There wasn't really anyone in New Zealand talking about all of those things in the sandwich, the meat being the meat, or the meat alternative, and the sandwich. And then the next kind of big moment for me was that moment when my parents both ended up in hospital.
Oh, yeah. And at the same time?
So they were both in there at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
One on one ward in one building. So Waikato Hospital's enormous. So one was in one building in one place. One was on the other side of the hospital campus.
Of course it was.
Of course, you know, couldn't possibly be in the same place. And I was literally running from one to the other. And because they're not smartphone users, they couldn't talk to each other. They couldn't see each other.
Terrible.
They didn't really know what was going on for each other.
That's hard.
And so
when you're stuck in the middle.
And I was in the middle running from one place to the other. I was really lucky. I had a very supportive boss who, you know, allowed me to work flexible hours. Again, great part of being in the sandwich, you know, if you've got a sandwich boss, which I had. And so I was doing this running around. And sometimes I'd be at the hospital two or three times a day, but trying to get home to be there for the kid who was still living at home and then the one that moved back and all of the stuff, you know.
Gosh.
So I said to them at the hospital, look, is there any chance that they could end up in the same room?
Right.
So eventually, yes, that would be possible once they both ended up at the same kind of level of care that they both needed.
Makes sense.
So they put them in this room in the what's called OPR, so that's called Old Persons Rehabilitation.
Yes.
So they were both at OPR, and I was because I was up there so often, I got to know the receptionist, and I could leave my car where I wasn't meant to leave it, and they were really accommodating. Yeah. And even the receptionist was like, oh, I know what it's like, I'm your age, you know. So again, here was this other woman get up there, and the doctor's there, and she's like, oh, yes, I know what it's like, you know, I'm in the same stage of life. So it was just everywhere. And I walked into this room, and here's my parents. I could hear them bickering with each other. It's their love language. I could hear them bickering with each other. And I walked in, found them, went into this room, and here's these two. They looked very tiny in these big white hospital beds.
Yes.
These two people looking like the granny and granddad and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, sitting up in their beds with their little plastic bowls of hospital food, and kind of went, gosh, is this my life now, you know? And because there was not really anyone else, I mean, my brother's in town, but he's out of town a lot of the time, couldn't expect my kids to be running around after them. That was that kind of another step in that sandwich moment.
And it's just me. I'm the one that's going to have to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, so, you know, the CEO, the chief everything officer, well, I used to be CEO in my work life, now it looks like I'm doing it in my private life as well.
That's really hard. Yeah.
So, so that's where it came from. And then everyone I talked to was saying, yep, that's happened to me. And it's different circumstances maybe, but the same
kind
of narrative around the stuff. And so while there's all these podcasts out there that are about menopause, that's only part of the story.
Yeah.
That's and I mean, if you're in your 40s and not gone through that, or you're in your 60s and well past it, that doesn't mean that all that other sandwich stuff isn't happening, especially with lots of us that were late bloomers having kids or, you know, are in our 50s and still trying to get a career bedded in or whatever the thing.
And often this is the time when we're kind of relaunching ourselves, and then suddenly if you've started early, now you have grandchildren and there's expectation. Are you going to be a full-time granny? And you're like, well, no, I've just blossomed my career, this new career, and having to navigate all of those. How come our parents didn't tell us about this? Do you think they had the same thing?
So I don't think they did. I think if I look at my own parents, you know, they had kids in their 20s.
Right.
So by the time by the time I was in my 20s and I'd left home and gone off in an OE, which was the thing from New Zealand that people did in the 80s and 90s, less so in the 60s and 70s a bit, but nowhere near as much. By then, you know, I was up and gone by the time my mother was not even 50, because I remember coming back from overseas for her 50th birthday. So, yeah, we were up and gone. And I guess it was, you know, single income families mostly. I don't remember any of my friends' mums working unless it was a, you know, little job that you did part-time or they might be a teacher and they're off in the holidays or what have you. But there weren't really those kind of career path women.
Yeah.
Daycare wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
And so I guess those, it was just a different expectation and you... There were plenty of my friends' mums who, even without children, gave up work the day they got married. And that was it.
Because that's all the expectation.
Yeah, you couldn't have a career and children. That was just, you know, that was a very radical, you know, feminist woman that did something like that.
Yeah.
And my grandmother had worked the whole time that my dad and his siblings were growing up. And that was quite, although that was the norm for me, that was quite unusual, that she worked, and she worked till she was 80. Wow. But that was a very unusual thing. You know, she's, again, we can talk about her another day because she's quite an amazing woman that, that, you know, there was no sandwich for her because she was all about cream buns. But it was, you know, the whole thing around, the work-life balance wasn't a thing. But that was definitely the exception because my other grandmother literally stopped work the day after she got married. And did a bit on the side, but was basically. So I think maybe, and our mothers, my mother would not have talked about menopause or menopausal, I mean, I never saw the menopausal rage if she had it because I'd left home.
And I mean, I remember my mum once saying, oh, I've got a power surge. She used to call those flushes her power surge. But it didn't really, I didn't register with me and I never thought about it. And it's only now, and she's gone now, so I can't even ask her questions. Of like, so how did you deal with this? Did you get this? Did you get the hot flushes? Did you battle with sleep? You know, all of those things, because she's just not here anymore. And we never spoke about that. When she was going through it.
It wasn't the thing, and I certainly never spoke about it with my grandmothers. But the other thing was, I think, I mean, menopause happened at a different time because those women, often at 40, they had a hysterectomy. Everything was whipped out, thrown into early menopause. And so that was a whole different ball game as well, you know.
And I don't think we were talking, I don't think even doctors were talking about menopause. So it was just, she's gone a bit loopy. Or she's getting a cantankerous.
Got the vapors.
So, you know, just explain it away and not, and because it's not a culture of talking and telling each other about this, it probably, you just think, oh, well, I'm just crabby or I'm in a bad mood what's happening to my body. There's no explanation. We now, we have all this information.
Almost overload, because I did reach a point 2 or 3 years ago. I was just like, really? Another podcast about menopause? What about all the other stuff? And again, that was kind of,
this is what
no one else is talking about that, maybe we should, you know.
Absolutely.
But I think the fact that people are more frank now is a really good thing. Yeah, I mean, even the boys are more open, you know, husbands. It's amazing how many men I've spoken to. They're like, oh, yeah, my wife's in that phase and they're either studying again or they're finding a new career or the, but also juggling all of these other things. And in fact, even the friends I've got who don't have kids are still in the sandwich of dealing with a career and a partner and a, and a aging parent. Or the ones that don't have a partner, like me, are still in a different, you know, it's the same sandwich, different filling, you know, or same filling, different sandwich. And so you get this sense of unity because we're all going through these same experiences.
And there's something really powerful when somebody says that and you go, me too. And you realize you're not going mad or you're not overreacting. You suddenly, there's a real sense of, oh my goodness, I'm not the only one. And there's something really good about that.
I think so too. And I think the, you know, the purpose of this whole podcast was not about here's 8 sessions and 8 solutions. It's more about, I hope people listening will go, ah, someone else understands. Oh, yeah, that's me. Oh, you should listen to this friend because they feel like you do. And that circle will grow. I mean, yeah. A club or whatever. It is a club, really. Yeah. But it's like a club that doesn't have, you know, the membership to get in is just who you, you know, the time of life. Yes. You know, there's yeah. no rules around yeah. it or anything because yeah. everyone, like I said, you know, same sandwich, different fillings.
Yeah. yeah.
So there seems to be this whole group. And the funny thing is, you know, we talk about being invisible. Yeah. Walk down the street, nobody knows. Yeah. Not that anyone ever whistled me ever, but, you yeah. know, for the ones that did get whistled at,
yeah.
You're kind of invisible, stand yeah. in a bar. How many yeah. times have you stood in a cafe and it's like they don't even see you? Hello, yeah, hello, it's me.
Yeah, yeah.
Woman of a certain age over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and a couple of times I've done that, you can see people kind of looking a bit snippy. Well, yeah. you know, you could serve Actually, me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And it's such a... That group, yes, lots of us have still got mortgages, but actually, like politically and economically, it's a massive group.
Yeah.
Because they're voting, they're yeah. spending money, yeah. they're making decisions for yeah. two or three or more generations yes. of people, and yet we're still invisible. What yeah. the hell what is the that heck? About?
Yeah. And I think what we're hoping this will do is make them go, I'm seen.
Mm.
Someone sees me, they understand, and I think that's a really powerful thing.
Mm.
There's a Zulu word, and it's the greeting when you say hello, and it's sawubona. But what it actually sawubona?
Sawubona. Okay.
And what it means is I see you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so I think that's what we're trying to do is we're like, hello, we see you, yeah. and we understand what you have to go through.
Yeah,
And I think that's incredibly powerful. Yeah.
So, what was your sandwich? Was there a moment, or was it a series of moments?
Yeah, I think it really came home to me. So my mum had passed away, and we had immigrated to New Zealand, and suddenly my dad retired, and he called me and my brother and said, well, you know, your kids have got to pay the bills for me. So I need you to pay my bills because I'm going to retire and I don't have retirement money. And in South Africa, so you get about 1,500 rand, which is $150 for a month to live on.
Wow.
His rent was 3,500.
Right.
You know, and when we thought, oh my goodness. So my brother and I kind of sat down together. Having kids to still support and having trying to, you know, be settled in New Zealand, so we've lost all our support system, and now I've got to pay for my father to live.
Mm.
One of the good things is the rand's really low, the dollar was ripped, but it was kind of $80 a week that my brother and I were both putting into an account so that we could, you know, keep him fed, keep a roof over his head, you know, let him still have the equivalent to Sky TV, so because that's all he could do.
Mm.
And it was, I suddenly thought, wow, it's up to me. Now I'm having to take care of my dad and make all sorts of decisions from afar. You know, when he got sick, we had to rally and find people that would go and help him. And so you suddenly go, gosh, I'm the adult now, even of my own dad type of thing. I'm responsible, and that was terrifying.
And I'm not sure that parents would even, like your dad probably had never considered that would be how it was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It seems to be that, I don't know why, because I remember my grandparents, they could take care of themselves and they had all these, they had means towards the end where it seems, because the same thing happened to Gary, my husband's parents, where we kind of looked after his dad as well, because they just didn't seem to look to the future and go, well, I need to take care of myself once I'm retired.
Mm.
I don't know if that's just a South African thing. Is that happening here?
I think it has happened here. I mean, that would definitely be something I'm really keen to unpack more about the whole aged care thing later anyway.
Yes, good.
But I think that whole idea of that sense of self-sufficiency, I think there was a belief, and I do see that probably in my own parents a bit, although less so because they're seeing it up close now. But in my grandparents' generation, so people that were born in the kind of, what do they call them? The quiet,
silent generation.
Quiet.
And then
quiet.
The baby boomers.
Yeah, so if you think about that silent generation, I think they just believed that the government would look after them. They could never have foreseen that the population of the world would double in that time and there wouldn't be enough people to look after them.
Yeah.
it was okay to rent a house for your whole life. Yeah. Didn't really, it was kind of the boomers that got into the whole home ownership yes. thing in a really big way.
Yeah,
I think that's world over.
Yeah.
And it's a really there is world. Definitely, I saw with my own parents, they absolutely believed that the government would look after them when they became infirm. And when we saw it up close, and they're doing well now, by the way, but you know, when we saw it up close, actually, that's to that level. And I guess that's a bit the same, you know, if you think about education now, you can get an education, but if you want a good education, it's going to fall on the people of our age to pay for that private education or that extension.
Absolutely.
Because the young ones can't afford it and the older ones can't either.
Yeah.
So I think that's another kind of layer in that sandwich of that financial, I don't want to use the word burden, but that responsibility, right? The
responsibility.
Yeah.
And it weighs heavy because you, it, and I think what also occurred to me, it wasn't like I had a choice. I couldn't go, well, actually, I can't. We had to make it work. We just had to make it work. And then it's also, you know, it's your dad and you having to expect your husband to sacrifice for that family. And that was, then you realize, actually, I'm responsible and I've got to stick, you know, just make it happen. So
were there other kind of sandwich moments?
I think one of the key, last year was suddenly the last kid moving out of house and that empty nest kind of and part of me was like, yay, I have a bit of freedom. I was sad to see him go because he was my little buddy and, you know, I had no one to talk to. And two things happened at that stage. I suddenly went, oh gosh, my husband and I hardly talk to each other. So I had to rekindle a whole and figure out what that
now,
looked like.
Now, there's a topic for a future episode,
And the other thing was, as much as I missed him, I suddenly went, right, it's my turn now. And I was mid-MBA, so suddenly I was ramping up. And then my older kids were like, oh, can you look after the grandy? And there was almost like this gadonk, oh, now I've got to see how this works. And it was such a privilege to look after her one day a week, but there was a cost to that in terms of the business couldn't really ramp up like I wanted it to. And it was well worth it. Again, not a burden, but a responsibility. So that was interesting, having to do that.
I think that's an uneasy paradox, the burden versus responsibility. Yes. And I see in a couple of the groups I belong to on Facebook, this, I don't resent this at all. It's such a privilege to be able to, you know, insert thing here, look after my aged parent, whatever it is. Let's not use but. No buts in here. I think that sense of nobody wants to say, actually, some days this really sucks. It really sucks that I feel responsible for two people or four people when it should be just me or whatever. Yeah. And so how do you balance that? Mm-hmm. It's a privilege, but actually also some days I want to learn to say no.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, boundaries. I don't quote the Bible at people, but that thing in the Bible about let your yeses, your yeses, I think it's from the Bible.
Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Totally. I'm not very good at that. I tend to be a yes and or a no, but oh, maybe I could make that work.
Yeah.
And that's.
So I always encourage people like that to learn, especially when it's hard to say no. So there's two tactics. You either go away, you say, I'll think about it, go away, and then it's easy to say no.
That's great.
Yeah. Or you learn to say these two words. So repeat after me. Hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Because, often people convince you, oh, but you're so good at this or whatever, when you just go, hell no.
Yeah.
And I think we need to learn that. I think this stage, what I've also realized is I feel like I am a grown up. So I can actually kind of make my own rules and go, these are my boundaries. And I feel like I don't need to explain why this is not okay or it is okay for me. So, maybe we are growing up.
Well, maybe, some days I still feel like a 25-year-old, though.
Yes.
I've only got to put on 80s music and I'm right back there. How is it possible that thing was 30 years ago or 35 years ago?
Yeah, that's
And when
terrible.
I'd hear my parents say, oh, you know, when I was young, and I'd think, oh, yes, but that was a very long time
long
ago.
Long time ago.
Actually, no, 35 years to me was just a blink ago.
Absolutely,
And I definitely look back on that time with rose-coloured glasses now, I'm sure. But there was lots of good, yeah. But I'm sure it wasn't as peachy as what I remember. I don't know.
It's awesome that you remember the good things. I think when my son turned 31, I was like, but I'm only 25.
Yeah. How is it possible that someone was born in the 1990s? I don't understand. Yeah. How are they an adult if they're in the 1990s?
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. And now they have their own children, which is interesting.
Yeah. So I feel like over the next however long this goes on for, there's like all the stuff we've kind of ranged around today. There's a bunch of topics in
there. Absolutely, yeah.
And it would be really cool to kind of dig into each of them and unpack a little bit about the relationship stuff and the baby stuff and the career stuff and the study stuff and the travel stuff and, see where we land. So,
and hopefully people out there listening to this will also say, hey, what about this, which will spark conversations.
Yeah.
And then it'll be great to bring some people in that
– yeah.
you know, can give us some advice.
Yeah.
Because we don't have all the answers.
No.
We're in the messy middle of figuring it out as we go along.
Yeah, it's one squishy sandwich.
Hey, thanks for joining us today.
We're stoked if something in this episode sounded like you.
Come and find us on Instagram and tell us your moment. We read every message at the Sandwich Club Pod.
You can listen to the Sandwich Club wherever you get your podcast, here at Free FM or Apple, Spotify, or all the usual places.
And you can email us too, thesandwichclubpod@gmail.com.
We'll meet you in the middle. Here I am, stuck in the middle.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.